Let's pray. Father God, it is good to be in Your presence. It is good to gather as Your people, Lord. Regardless of where we physically are, we are gathered by Your Holy Spirit. This is one of those times, Lord, where the reality of who You are is so important, that You are omnipresent. These big words that sometimes we memorize and learn maybe in Sunday school or something, and the reality, Lord, that You are everywhere at the same time right now is so important to us. Because, Lord, as You are here in our sanctuary, You are also filling every single home of those who are on Facebook watching, Lord, those who will watch even across time, Lord, who watch later this week, that we are joined together because You are with every one of us, Lord. So I thank You for this family that You have created. And I ask Your blessing upon us, Lord. Father, I pray as we continue in Your Word now, that You would be glorified. And I ask, O God, that You would come by Your Holy Spirit, and You would open our eyes and open our ears, that each one of us would see and hear Jesus this morning. That we would know You for who You are, and You would fill our hearts and our minds with love for You, O God. Would You be glorified? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I keep thinking that this will be, each week, that will be the last week that we're in Psalms. And then I go, oh, but wait a minute. Oh, but this one. Oh, but this one. Oh, it's so great. You know? So the plan for now is that next week, we will do Psalm 150 as a last psalm, as a conclusion to our series, our study throughout the book of Psalms. But we'll see how that goes this week in devotions, how that comes out there. This psalm this morning I felt was really fitting, especially as Cynthia was sharing with me from her devotions this week. As coming after last week's psalm, we looked at Psalm 56, where the Lord really exhorted us not to be afraid, but instead to trust in Him. And we looked at that there, apart from God, there are so many things to be afraid of right now. So many things that we can fear. And even aside from pandemics and political turmoil and social and racial turmoil and all that's impacting us right now, just life itself has so much to it. And last week the Lord just continued to say to us, trust in Me, trust in Me, trust in Me. Well, and I hope our psalm this morning will be in a further encouragement to all of us to look to God and to show who He is. Why we look to Him, why we hope in Him, why we trust in Him. Please turn with me, if you have your Bibles there, to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I hope that everyone received an email from me yesterday kind of referencing Psalm 121. If not, I don't have your email. Somehow it's not on my list. Please let me know if you did not get an email from me yesterday afternoon or so. I just referenced this Psalm, Psalm 121. It's called a song or a psalm of ascent. And that typically means that it's to be sung kind of as you're going up to worship. And probably here, this is written around the idea of journeying on a pilgrimage from wherever you are around Israel up to Jerusalem for some type of festival to go to the temple to worship God. And it's laid out there as a parable, in a sense, as a picture of our entire life, of how we are to come before God, how we are to approach God And who is this God that we are approaching, that we are worshiping? So follow along with me, please. Psalm 121. It's only 8 verses. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is God's word. We, people of God, worship the Lord. We have been given this great privilege that our Creator God has invited us to relationship with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, He invites us to worship Him. Yes, in a sense, all of creation is commanded to worship God, but we are, in addition to that, we are invited to worship God. We get to worship God. What a joy, what a privilege that we have here. And in this passage, there are two overarching elements of God, two kind of characteristics, two realities of who God is, which lead us to worship Him. I'll just lay them out briefly here. That God is our help and God is our keeper. And then particularly the second one, the rest of the psalm goes on to give many other examples of the ways that He is our keeper. God is our help and God is our keeper. First, verses 1 and 2, God is our help. The psalm starts off with, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Now, this is a little bit vague here as what's going on, what the psalmist is really thinking of. Sometimes the idea of the hills in the scripture are a place that we want to escape to when things are getting awful, when there's plagues, pestilence, when there's enemies attacking, when life is just dangerous and things are terrible. There's a picture of people wanting to flee to the hills. So it's possible here that the psalmist is saying, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and they're saying, man, things are so bad in my life right now, I want to run away. I want to get out of here. There's also the possibility that the psalmist is just looking up at the hills and sees the enemies coming at them. That there are the problems there that are coming to attack. Maybe sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you just start to see in your mind all of the enemies that are arrayed before you. The bills stacking up, the broken relationships that you have, the concerns about your health, the worry that you have to go to work the next day, and there's stress there. The worry that you have to go to school and someone is not being kind to you. And you see the enemies arrayed against you. And you feel that sense of fear, of being overwhelmed. Because your enemies, you look up and the enemies look like they're coming at you. Whatever the situation here with that looking up to the lift up my eyes to the hills, there's trouble. We all experience trouble. Life is hard. There's a third possibility here in this I lift up my eyes to the hills, or there's probably more, but three that I see and think of. One is that there's already an acknowledgement of trouble going on, even before the psalm starts, that there's already trouble, and he's looking up to the hills, and he's seeing the Lord. And this leads into the next part, which is, there's trouble, but where does the help come from? Which is the question that the psalmist asks at the end of verse 1. Where does my help come? From where does my help come? Now, it may seem like it's a rhetorical question, like obviously, you know, the answer is God. Sometimes we think that, oh, you know, we ask a question and we know the obvious answer, especially when we're in church. Michael and I have a joke that goes back 25 years now about it used to be everything was 10 years ago. Now it's 20 plus 25 years. Anyways, there's a Sunday school class with little children. And the pastor is teaching the Sunday school class this one week. And he's saying to the little children there, all right, now, I want you to answer me what I'm talking about here, all right? I'm thinking about a little animal. Kids all look puzzled. Pastor says, it's gray and has four legs. The kids are all looking very puzzled. The pastor says, well, okay. It has a long tail, and it eats nuts and likes to climb trees. And one of the little children in the class raises their hand and says, Pastor, I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel. Right? Because the answer is always Jesus, right? That's what we know the answer is, right? If you're in Sunday school class, yeah, you're going to, you know, 85% chance you go with Jesus, you're going to get the right answer, right? So the question here is, where does my help come from? But I don't think this is rhetorical. Even though we know and we see the answer here, I don't think this is an easy question that the psalmist is asking. I believe that they are experiencing real trouble and difficulty. And the sense, the concern, the fear that they are going to be destroyed, that they are going to be overwhelmed. And even if we intellectually, or when we're asked the question, well, where does our help come from? God, we know. In the moment of trouble, our temptation is to look at everything else first. Is to look at other people to help us. And look at our own abilities to solve the problem. Is to find other ways that we're going to overcome these obstacles, these troubles that are before us. That we look to our own strength for our help, for our salvation. Because to really look to the Lord when we are in trouble takes an enormous faith. You have to really believe that God is true, that as He describes Himself in the Scriptures, He is real, and as He describes that He is for us and actively with us, we have to believe that. Not just that He's some passive force out there in the cosmos, in the universe, far away, but that He really is with you as an individual, and listening to you, and caring for you. That's where it takes great faith. It's easier to trust in, as the Scriptures declare, some trust in horses, some in chariots. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that is what the psalmist answers in verse 2. Who is God? And where does the help come from? God? And who is God? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. First, notice the word Lord there again. It's all capitals. This is speaking of the name of God. The whole psalm actually uses only that, the name of God, Yahweh, is the only reference to God here, Lord, with all capital L's there. And that's, you know, manifold meaning there, but one of the powerful things about the name of the, when he uses Yahweh, is we should always remember that God is the one who made the covenant of love with us. That His loving kindness is with us. and He initiates that, and He forms that relationship with us, that He's responsible for it, and He has promised to keep it. That it's on Him. And it is the covenant God who loves us, whom the psalmist says, that's where my help is. That's where my help is. I can trust in this God as my helper, as the one who will help me because of His name, because who He says He is, because He has made promises. There's also now the reminder that not only is the God the one who created the covenant between Himself and His people, but He is the God who has created all things, heaven and earth. And the Scriptures speak this way when they use two extremes, it's especially in Hebrew poetry, it's to include everything in between. Like we say, the Alpha and the Omega, it's not just, well, He's just the first and just the last. No, it's everything in between also. When you say heaven and earth, it's everything, all of creation. He is the creator of everything. And if God is the creator of all things, and He is here with us as the covenant God, the personal God, oh, then He truly is our help. And there is no struggle, trouble, which can eternally destroy us. None. It's beautiful here, you know, in this, just in verse 2, we have that both pictures of the God who is over all and King of all things. So it's this global maker of heaven and earth and personal, that He is Yahweh. He's over all the big problems of the world. He's over each individual struggle and challenge that each and every one of us has. There is no concern that is on our heart that is too small for the Lord. As we saw last week, every tear He captures in a bottle for us. He holds, He knows every sorrow, every struggle, every difficulty. Well, then the second kind of major characteristic of God that this psalm highlights, which leads us to worship Him, is that God is our keeper. Verses 1 and 2, where God is our help. Now, the rest of the psalm, God is our keeper. That's awesome. If I don't move. Nope. Okay, I'm going to keep going, I guess. God is our keeper. And the rest of this passage, some of these things overlap, so it's not as clearly delineated as I'm going to make it, but I want to try to highlight some of the specific ways in which God is our keeper, or what that all entails. First, in verses 3 and 4, God is our keeper forever. Forever. 3, He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And I want you to notice that word, how many times in the rest of this passage that word keep is used here. And that word keep in the Hebrew is very rich. It's to keep, it's to guard, it's to watch over, it's to protect, it's to always be aware of and watching and shepherding. In Genesis 25, 26, it's used, God promises that as Jacob is going into, away from his family, God says, I will keep you so that you will come back to this land. God's making a promise that you're going to go off into a foreign land, you're going to leave your family, you're going to be on your own, it's going to be a long time, you're going to get tricked by your father-in-law, and but I will keep you, and I will bring you back to this land. And God keeps His promise. God answers that. Michael and I were Michael was joking before the service, as he just was looking at the bullet points ahead of time, that God is our keeper. He said, "Oh, I didn't know God played soccer. The keeper is the goalie in soccer." But as I've been thinking about this morning, I think that's a good description right there, actually. The idea of the keeper is that they keep the goal safe. They protect the goal. So I think the idea here, if we can picture God as the ultimate keeper, is that we are in the net. We are in the goal. I know, I'm stretching it. I know. Work with me here. I didn't have time, a lot of time to think about this. We are in the goal, and God is the ultimate keeper, is in front, blocking every shot that comes at us. And He stops them all. Always. Every single time. And so we are safe when God is our keeper. It says He will not slumber, He will not sleep. So there is no time in which God is not our keeper. When we are asleep, God is our keeper. When we're having a great day, God is our keeper. When we get horrible news or experience devastating circumstances, God is our keeper. There's never a time where God isn't paying attention, where God isn't actively doing His work of keeping, protecting, guarding, watching over us. Next, in verses 5 and 6, God is our keeper specifically in trouble, in times of trouble. Again, verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. So the right hand in Scripture often speaks of strength. Right? So to be on someone's right hand man or right hand woman is to be the strong one, the strength. Right? It's the hand which typically, I know you left-handed folks, this is different, but or predominantly, the right hand is the hand we strike with a sword, or it's the attack, it's the strength. It's this picture of strength there. And He's saying, the Lord is your shade, the Lord is your cover, the Lord is your protection in the midst of the scorching heat. You can't help but have pictures of like you're lying on the beach and you got the umbrella over you, but you fall asleep and your hand flops out and your hand gets scorched there, right? Or you're riding in the car and the sun's shining on one side and just your hand starts getting hot, right? Well, God shades all of you, and your strength particularly. God shades you and protects you. The right hand is often used in battle, and so God is over you in the battle. In the Scripture, again, the scorching heat is a picture of withering away, of dying, of being defeated, of being unable to rise up against the circumstances. Not for God's people. Because God is our shade. Verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. It's not that the moon strikes us in a scorching way, but it's this picture here that God, day and night, always, as mentioned in verses 3 and 4, forever, in all times, in all circumstances, God is protecting us. Especially in a hot land, that idea of being your shade. Oh, what a blessing that God is our shade. That protection, that's saving us. Third, God is our keeper from evil, in verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now, I think we need to really think about this here. Okay. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus promises his followers that not a hair of your head will be lost, will be cut. And then in the very next sentence, he says, some of you will be martyred. Wait, how can those two go together? How can my hair not be touched? That's a picture there of not having any harm come to us, but we're going to be, some of us will be martyred? That sounds like that's harm, isn't it? Only if we look at it from perspective of there not being a God, of there not being an eternity. I see the similarities here because it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. Well, sometimes evil befalls us. The evil circumstances come around us. The effects of evil and sin are felt by all of us all the time. But it says, the Lord, He will keep your life. And that's a both and, I believe. That God, in the midst of our struggles and our difficulties here, God is with us. God is supporting us. God is protecting us. God is providing for us. But things are still going to come. And though He walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us, and therefore we fear no evil, we also know that there is heaven. That He will hold our life, our eternal life. That He will hold our faith in Him. He will hold it. We will struggle. There will be difficult circumstances, difficult times, but He promises to be with us, and He promises that we will not leave His hands for all eternity. We will never slip away. We will never fall out of His hands. That He will keep our life in the midst of any evil that comes. Fourth and final then in verse 8, God is our keeper for all of our life. Now in a sense this overlaps a little bit with forever, but it's a little bit different too. Verse 8 says, the Lord will keep, again keep the word, your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Whatever you're doing in life. And the picture here I think is of coming in to worship or in Jerusalem and then going back home again. The Lord will keep you through every circumstance in your life. Through all of your life. There are times when things are easier and good. Maybe, and I hope that our faith is bolstered when we worship together. I hope that we get a sense of, yes, God is good, God is real, and I trust God. But then I know we can leave and get into the world, and there can be a sense of, wait a minute, where is God? I had such faith on Sunday, or maybe in a time of prayer, maybe in a Bible study. And then you're in a different circumstance. You get to work, you get to the family gathering. I said, where is God? Well, their promise is that God will keep your going in and you're coming out. Every area of our lives, God will keep. All circumstances, all times, always. God will guard us. God will help us. God will protect us. God will watch over us. God will be with us. And therefore, as we saw last week, it is because of God is our helper, because God is our keeper, let us trust in God and not be afraid. Again, not be afraid of pandemics doesn't mean we act unwisely. It just means we don't live in fear. We don't live in fear of elections. That we don't live in fear even when there is social unrest. We don't come at life with fear. We trust in the Lord our God and we seek to do justice and to walk rightly and humbly with our God. Yes, the things arrayed against us that as we look to the hills are real. The challenges that we'll face, I'm not diminishing the challenges. Please don't hear that. They are real. But God is realer. God is more realer. And He is over all. And He loves you. And He's with you. And He's for you. And He's watching you. And He's caring for you. And He's holding you. Always. Always and forever. Therefore, let us not be afraid, but let us trust in the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You that You are so good, so strong, that You are everywhere all at once, O God, that You are our help and our keeper. Lord, help us to place our very lives into Your hands, to surrender to You, O God, that we would not be afraid. Let us look to You, O Lord God, not our own strength. You say that those who seek You find, O God. So let us seek You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.